All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. We're live at the Greenbrier in West Virginia. Day three of practice. Going to be a light one today. No pads today. It's been pointed out that I have an obsession with the players practicing in pads. I've been peppering Omar, our media relations kind of the guy who heads up all the media relations guru here for the Texans. I'm the one who's hitting him all the time with, are they in pads? Are they in pads? Are they in pads? Apparently. And it's true. Hey, he's nodding his head. They'll be in pads tomorrow. I just want everybody to know that. Joining us right now, a little bit early, but it's good because we'll get to watch a little practice here. But Texans president Mike Thoman, who's been on with us before and out here in West Virginia. Mike, it's great to see you.
Hey, guys. Good to be back. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Of course. I was just thinking as you were sitting in that chair, when we have Nick Caserio come on, he's got theme music when he comes on. He's got walkout music. D-Generation X from WWE. You're a big walkout music person. We need walkout music for you, don't we? For whenever you come on the show with us?
Yeah, I was hoping for that. But you know where I want to try to separate myself a little bit?
Okay.
So I was thinking more like Dry Ice.
Oh, okay.
Can we go that route?
Yeah.
I figured that was some band I didn't know about. I was like, oh, yeah, Dry Ice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw him in Newport. Yeah.
Have you, is this your first trip to the Greenbrier for something like this?
It is.
How's it gone so far for you?
Oh, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, what a great setup. Great place for the guys to be together. We ordered in some great weather, as you know.
Yeah.
So I think everyone's really enjoying it.
Yeah. It's been the players to a man. Like, it's so much, they come off the field, they're in a great mood. You know, yesterday got a little chippy at the end of practice, so the mood was kind of a, you know, moving scale. But this has been great. Is there any way, we asked you off air, is there any way we could do this for 3 weeks next year?
Yeah. I think, one, we'll start with the weather. We'll see if we can get that and then keep moving on this. But, no, I mean, it's great. I mean, the guys are competing hard.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's great for them to maintain the crispness when you do have a change in the weather like this and the environment overall.
Yeah. That the whole traveling for training camp and everything, it's funny because for a long time it's what every team did. And then in the 90s, teams started just practicing at their own facility. And it made sense because a lot of, you know, stadiums had their own locker rooms and everything. And now it almost feels nostalgic to go away for camp. But I see the value in it and just being isolated and you can avoid distraction, all that old school football stuff. And yet at the same time, we're also in a stage where the Texans are talking about, hey, you know, there's a good chance that maybe the headquarters and the locker rooms and the practice facility are going to be away from the stadium where they play the games. And I'm guessing for training camp that might end up in some of the things that you guys are looking at. Do you think about, okay, wow, if we could do training camp a lot differently for the fans if we have a separate headquarters and practice facility?
Yeah, I mean, well, first and foremost, what drives, I mean, there's a theme between everything you kind of laid out, which is how do you put the team in the best environment to compete? Like, how do you give them the competitive advantage? And a lot of those things that we've just been talking about are driving lights for us. You know, it's kind of our North Star on, is there a way, an optimal way that we can get everybody together, that they can compete, that they can be together and focus in on getting better. And you know, for us, that means the team, that means all of our teammates, the organization overall. And so those are the things that really drive us as we start thinking about where a training facility is. What's the optimal way to approach that? And then certainly, you know, we always think about the fans.
Yeah.
But our driving light is, can we get better as a team? What's the best way to do that?
Have you guys seen, as you look around the league and look at the way some teams do it, is there any team that stands out for that has a kind of facility that looks pretty intriguing and looks like maybe it has a lot of things that you guys might like?
You know, there's a lot. I think, especially if you look globally, you know, the focus in on really the player and how the player individually gets better. You really start thinking about the functionality of the team and what's the easiest way to move from place to place and the overall organization. I think one thing that we know right now, we're not in an optimal spot at this point, just because we're separated in a lot of different places. You know, the guys are crossing Kirby to get from the locker room back to the training facility. So we see a lot of opportunities for us to improve that experience overall. But certainly, you know, you can look across the globe, you know, from Europe to here, where they're really focusing in on what is the functionality of the day for the player and the organization.
That's the one that I visited once long, long ago, and I'm guessing it's still set up the same way, was the Falcons and Flowery Branch, where they have, you know, they have the locker rooms and the weight room. It's all right on the end of the practice field. The practice bubble is right off to the side. But the cool thing that I was impressed by there was that you can go immediately from the weight room out onto the practice field. So whatever the workouts you're doing or everything are super efficient. But then Sean, they had dorms for the players. So like some of the practice squad guys and everything, they had like dorms set up right there. Which I thought, like, that's the coolest thing in the world. Plus, you can keep an eye on them that way.
Yeah.
You don't tell them that part, Mike, but you can keep an eye on them. But it's like cheap, affordable housing, but guys can kind of be around the guys if they choose to.
Seth was actually putting a list of requests together for you for the new facility that I think he's still formulating. Right?
Yeah, that's right. Well, that was the big one, player dorms.
Yeah, player dorms.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think we probably have to think about the wordsmithing on how we present all that.
Yeah. Branding is a big thing. Mike Tolman, Texans team president, joining us. Along those lines, even when you're at a beautiful facility like this, as you're thinking ahead to what your vision of what that might look like, that, you know, the new headquarters with the practice facility, are you walking around a facility like this making mental notes of things of, you know, this would make a lot of sense, or even getting feedback from guys of things that they like at a place here like the Greenbrier?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, was talking with Nick the other day on just, you know, how much the guys like the experience here. And it really comes back to that functionality, like what makes it easy for them to go compete and go through their day. And as you can see, the proximity for the training facility here with the meeting rooms and the ability to work out and the actual training rooms butting up right against the field, that takes a lot of friction out of your day.
Absolutely.
So we can really kind of focus on what the most important thing is.
Yeah. Mike Tolman, Texans team president, joining us. So as far as the the stadium goes, are we still same pattern here where it's the option number one, renovating NRG Stadium?
Yeah. Our focus remains on renovating NRG. I mean, I think I would share we're really happy with the progress we're making with our partners. We have a great partnership with the rodeo and the county, and we feel like there's been a lot of progress made on it. And our focus is the renovation of the stadium. The county's done a great job, I think, in running a process on studies to really see how that comes about, the viability of it. It's been a very thoughtful and dare I say, exhaustive process. So we can feel really good that when those studies conclude, we'll have the right direction on what the best step is. And so they're coming to an end at this point, and we're looking forward to seeing what the outputs are and taking the next appropriate step.
Is there anything this year in terms of just differences in the game day environment, or just whether it's promotional or just the actual fan experience that you've got planned, or that's going to be different for fans?
Yeah, I'm excited for the fans to arrive. We're all excited for the fans to get there. You know, I think when they arrive, they'll see really like a sensory upgrade. They'll have better visuals. They'll have upgraded video boards. Really one of the impacts that we were excited for the fans to receive is the audio. You know, we have an significantly upgraded audio system. So there'll be a great amplification on the experience when you come to NRG.
Oh, really? Okay. Does that make it almost feel more like a basketball environment? Or?
I mean, the crispness of the sound, for sure. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you could point to that. We've been playing it out a lot at this point, and it's a great venue when you start thinking about how crisp is the sound and how do you amplify that. So I think that's a good analogy.
What are the things when you get feedback from the fans, what's the biggest thing that they say that they want to see improved, or they want to see you guys focus on, maybe even what NRG looks like down the road? But what's the biggest thing that the biggest touch point the fans have?
You know, some of it's about ingress and egress. Some of it's about ease through the different concourses. And, you know, a lot of the feedback that we'll get, certainly from a corporate perspective, is the premium offerings, how we stack up against other venues when you have, you know, some of our corporate partners who travel to other venues and see how you know, the corporate community can engage. You know, those are places that we're all behind.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, those are all noted, and those are things we think about as we go through this renovation.
And then, you've talked about that in terms of the renovation and how much it sounds like there's only so much you can do without major structural changes when it comes to getting people in and out of the stadium faster.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we're approaching 30 years. Mm-hmm. You know, at the end of this lease, it'll be 30 years old. So the world evolves over the course of 30 years.
For sure. Maybe I'm just a child. I like riding those really, really long escalators. And yet at the same time, you realize, like, this is not an efficient way to move people. It's kind of cool to go up, like, four stories in an escalator.
It is.
Request is that you have, like, 10 of those.
Yeah.
So I can still get the amusement park element of riding on a really long escalator.
Yeah, no, I think that, and we'll talk with the team, we'll talk with the league, we'll talk with the media on having longer breaks for people to get back to their seats.
Yes. Oh, yeah. There you go.
20-minute break back to your seat.
That's a big thing, is just the bathroom experience in general for sports.
Longer half times too. We need to load up on more food up in the press box at halftime.
Yeah.
See what you can do about that. So
these
12-minute half times, a little too short. Mike Tolman, Texans president, joining us here live out of Texans training camp. When it comes to some of the stuff that you're looking at right now, Mike, when it comes to the headquarters project, whatever ends up happening with the stadium, from your background, you've got a lengthy background in all this stuff. Is there a certain stop along the way for you that mirrors what it is you're looking at here with the Texans? And if so, what was it, and what makes it similar?
You know, experience-wise, I think this is like one of those unique spots, and you and I have talked about it a little bit, where it's the perfect storm. You know, you have the ability to pull from experiences in the past. You have a great foundation here in Houston. You have the best canvas, as you think about, in Houston. So it's tough to draw, like, hey, here's one thing that I think these things exactly apply. But what I do love to point out is it's a special time right now, and you can pull things from a lot of different experiences in the past and pull them forward and say, like, this one really applies and this will be great. There's a uniqueness to Houston. We're going to do some stuff that's just unique to us that hasn't been done before.
Yep.
And then you've learned from mistakes in the past too, where you're like, let's make sure we don't go down that path.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. How's the family acclimating to Houston?
They love it.
Yeah, they do?
They do.
Okay.
You know, I mean, it's funny. My wife and I were talking the other day, and, you know, been here about 6 months and have lived in other places much longer, lived in North Texas for, you know, eight, nine years, which is great. That all being said, you know, Houston just feels like home. You know, it has this unique feeling of being so large, but not acting that way.
Yeah.
And being a pretty easy place for the family to wrap their arms
around. That was my, I remember, 25 years ago, my first impression of Houston after the first 6 months was it's got a lot of the appeal of a bigger city in terms of just, it feels like it has an energy to it. And yet it still has the friendliness of the Deep South, but without just all the, you know, idiocy.
Yeah.
Like a just slack jawed yokel nature to it is in some ways. So it's kind of like a good blend of both things.
Yeah.
You don't run into that many slack-jawed yokels in Houston.
Yeah,
and if you do, they're usually just imports from Indiana or something. Indianans. Yeah.
There you go. Welcome to the Payne and Pendergast.
Yeah, I'm not going to touch that one.
I know you guys in the Notre Dame thing and everything. You don't want to mess with the townies. So, yeah,
exactly. Right. Exactly. The countdown begins here to the start of the season, and we get a joint practice next week. So this is going to be a whole lot of fun coming up here for you, Mike.
Yeah, no, couldn't be more excited. I mean, it is the summer is officially over.
Yeah,
and we are diving into it.
Yep, it's gonna be good. All right, well, listen, the drills are starting up out here, out of practice. So we will let you get over to that. We appreciate you as always, and looking forward to a big season and hanging out with you out here.
You guys are the best. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it, Mike Tolman, Texans team president, joining us on the show. I know. I want to get one of those. Yeah, let's see what we can do. Do you know anybody, Mike?
I think we can get Omar over here.
Okay. Yeah. I'm bothering Omar enough with my padded practice questions.
He's taking notes.
Yeah. There you go. All right. Appreciate you, Mike. Good stuff. All right. When we come back, we'll hit what we talked about before. The Texans week one opponent. News coming out of there that could impact the Texans in week one. We will get to that coming up.